you've seen digital signage. It's almost ubiquitous in retail settings now, and more organizations are adopting it for their communications. So we're going to kind of talk about the basics, sort of a 101 primer. What is a digital signage system? Why is it a good option and things like this? And how is organizational digital signage different from what we see in retail settings? And why should anybody care? So I'm here with Sean Matthews, President and CEO of Vizix. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Derek. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. Look forward to maybe dispelling some myths today.
Oh, I like that. Mythbusters. I'd like to thank Sean for coming on today and thank everybody for listening.
This is Digital Signage Done Right. Whether you're new to digital signage or a seasoned pro, this podcast gives you practical advice about systems, communications, and content to better engage your audience. I'm Derek DeWitt, Communications Specialist for Vizix. Welcome to Digital Signage Done Right.
The short thing is, what is digital signage?
Well, I mean, the short of it is, you alluded to it in the opening. You see it in quick serve restaurants, and you typically see it in airports with flight information display about arrivals, departures, obviously menus in quick serve restaurants. But digital signage is basically comprised of electronic signs, right? You see them on billboards in interstates, certainly in the United States. Electronic messages versus, let's say, printed messages. And when I say printed, you know, old traditional print format. And
posters, brochures, flyers.
Yeah. So this is just simply the electronic version of that. And, it has some advantages and certainly some disadvantages. But, obviously we're here to harp on the advantages today.
So what makes up a digital signage system? How complicated is it? How many parts are there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not overly complicated. I mean, at the most basic level, if somebody wanted to use a PowerPoint and put it on a USB stick, they could plug that into a display and that would in fact be digital signage. Now, wouldn't be very scalable digital signage. But when you think about real world enterprise scalable digital signage, you're talking about basically five main components. So we have a design application that creates the layouts and the way information will be displayed on the screens and what the screen looks like overall. We have a content management system, which can be an on-premise server or one that's hosted in a cloud with a CMS application, which is managing the scheduling and delivery of the content.
So that's like the brain.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's the brain. And again, usually hosted somewhere else. You interact with it through a browser interface. It's the part that is the brain, but it's typically the part that's easiest to use because, scheduling the delivery of content, when and where it's going to play, is certainly much less complicated than coming up with creative artistic designs and artistic messages.
Yes.
So it's the brains technically, but it is often the easiest part to use.
Right.
Aside from those two components, you have a third component, which is the media player, which can either be a device or an application that runs in the display. And it's the thing that harnesses the several playback engines that might be used to deliver that information to the screen. And of course, you have the display itself, which could either be a physical display or it could be a projection technology, which projects those same images on a wall or some other surface.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
And so, obviously video mapping is becoming a much more popular technology. You see it on the outsides of buildings and in arenas on the floor surface, that kind of stuff. But in most cases, in institutional or organizational communication, even retail, it's typically a display or a set of displays in the form of some sort of video wall or not, and of course, the last piece is some sort of infrastructure to provide connectivity to that engine, that media playback engine that puts the information on screen. So it's some sort of network connection, either wireless or wired.
So you're creating content, scheduling it, and then somehow that has to get to the media players and thus to the display.
That's correct, yeah. Because you don't want to run around with a bunch of USB sticks and swap them out every time you want to change a message. Yeah?
That would be labor intensive. So why use it? What's wrong with posters?
Well, I mean, there's physically nothing wrong with posters, but if you want to deliver timely, relevant, and ever-changing content, posters would be certainly a very costly way to do it. There's physical labor involved, and there's the print process and all the byproducts of those print processes. So, what we're talking about is delivering content to displays or endpoints, which is time sensitive, relevant, it's engaging. It could even include animation or audio if you need to do that. But you know, the real key is that it's live, it's up to date, and it's designed to have a more profound effect with those other elements I mentioned, movement and audio if necessary, to engage the passerby. And ultimately our goal is to affect some sort of change in their behavior, whether they sign up for something or become more productive or participate.
Don't cut their hand off in the printing press or whatever.
That's correct. Yeah. So right, yeah. Days without incident, mm-hmm. certainly has a new meaning when you look at that.
Mm-hmm. And it's a highly visual, highly dynamic medium.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we as people, we process visuals like 60,000 times faster than we do text. So,
really?
We're using these animated elements and these visual elements to really, have an impact on people quickly.
Do we know it works?
Well, I mean, based on surveys, we see that digital signs have a recall rate that's around 83%, which is much higher than the 40 to 50% that you see with traditional printed signs. 63% of people say that digital signage captures their attention, and it captures like 400% more views than printed signs or traditional signs or posters, if you want to call them that. So, it does have a profound effect in terms of, recall and engagement in terms of visual engagement. 59% of people who say that they see a digital sign say that they want to learn more about what was being conveyed on that sign.
So, simply because of the way that the message was conveyed to them, the information
correct.
Was conveyed to them.
Yep, that's correct.
Isn't that interesting? I guess it's because we're just inundated with screens and electronic. That's how we get information now.
That's correct. I mean, it's almost, standard protocol now when you have a kid that by the age of 3, he or she's engaged in some kind of screen,
Well, yes, that's very true. Actually, I saw a study of children 6 months old intuitively, just given an iPad for the first time, intuitively pick it up and know how to use it.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. I mean, and when you really get to like the ROI of this type of stuff, digital signs, again, based on surveys, reduce perceived wait time by as much as 35%. But when you get to really, organizational infrastructure and, how it affects an enterprise, there's some surveys out there that indicate that workplace injury is reduced by as much as 20%. When you use digital
Less.
Signs. Yes, because you're reinforcing safety initiatives and safety reminders that, when that affects the bottom line of the business, you're talking about insurance costs, lawsuit costs, days without productivity. I mean, dude, it has a bottom line effect.
Sure. And of course, that makes sense. You injure yourself on the factory floor and you think, I knew that, but I forgot for a moment. When it's being constantly reminding you, hey, here, don't forget this, you go, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and particularly, man, if you think about like a manufacturing environment where certain production activities occur at specific times and that, people may forget, they lose, sense of time during their day when they're working on things, and that these processes occur at this point in time, it's easy to remind people what's going on visually when those processes are occurring.
And, of course, replacing messages, you can... Digital signage can kind of react much faster. It's a more dynamic messaging system than printed posters and things like this. They're easy to change. The messages drop off automatically if you schedule them to do so, things like this. So it's actually, it's really kind of completely different than posters, really.
Yeah, and if you think about a lot of the technologies that are out there that we have and others have, allow you to manipulate the information on screen by using, data-triggered artwork or other data triggers. So, as the productivity on the factory floor changes or in the call center changes, then the messages change on screen because they're being triggered by a data source. So, that sort of data-triggered artwork and or data-triggered change, it's an incredibly powerful tool that you just can't replicate with a printed sign. You can't print signs fast enough.
Well, and I know that physics has talked a lot in the past about sort of democratizing communications. What does that mean? Like getting more people involved in the process or what is that?
Yeah, you're spot on. Getting more people involved is often a key component. If we're a big organization and we have a brand style that we want to reinforce, we may task our team with creating a look and feel that appears on screen. But we want our sales department, HR, facilities, and others to contribute to the content creation process, because if we do so, all of those folks are invested not only in the content creation, but they have a vested interest in what's on screen and participating and or reading what's on screen, because they know it's having an effect on their department or their team. Mm. And they want it, you know, to percolate throughout the organization and have the same effect and resonate throughout the organization. So, you know, by democratizing communications, we can get more people involved. It reduces the workload on a single person. And often it doesn't require us to hire a staff of people to create content just for these digital signs. The real value, you know, to doing that, of course, is you get a lot of contributors. But, you know, of course, you could easily run into a situation where the quality of those contributors doesn't really match the brand style or really what we want to convey. So, you know, there's a lot of enterprise processes that we could talk about in terms of how do you really manage it if you're going to have all these people contributing to this content creation process.
What are some of the more enterprise features for a larger organization, I don't know, one that's not just a building, but maybe it's a whole campus, or they've got in different cities, in different states, or even different countries, you can still operate it all really from one location. What are some of the advantages of these features?
Well, I mean, first, you know, you need scalability. So if you're going to have multiple buildings or multiple sites around a country or a state or whatever, I mean, you want to have some level of scalability. But with that scalability, you also want to have some sort of organizational awareness in the software and or its workflows or its policies. You want some organizational recognition and awareness so that you can assign rights and roles and responsibilities to certain users. So let's say in this particular case, I work for you. I'm the young intern and I've been hired for the summer, and you walk in and say, hey, Sean, you know, you're going to be tasked with putting welcome messages on the screen every day. We have visitors, and we have a published list of visitors, but it's my responsibility to put that information on screen. So, you know, day one, I kind of poke around and I get the first little piece of info up there. Well, I don't think you really want me publishing to the big lobby display or the video wall welcoming our number one client without you approving it. So,
right.
So what you do is you assign, you know, rights to me in terms of what I can and can't do. So I can create content all day long, but it doesn't get published until you approve it.
Right.
And
you spelled his name wrong.
Okay. Yeah, correct. He's our number one customer, right?
That's good going. Yeah.
So, you know, you want to build in that sort of structure. And, you know, of course, you may, as an organization, we talked about building, you know, a brand feel. And so you may not want me messing with that brand feel. You may want only marketing or Marcom to mess with that look and feel. So they have certain rights that everyone else does not have. And we talked about earlier, you know, this whole idea of data triggers, or, you know, data information triggering artwork or changes on screen. You really have to have an enterprise system that has interoperability with other systems, because if we can't connect to those systems, then we can't change that, you know, the output that appears on screen.
Right.
So, you know, that's obviously a key component to an enterprise product. You know, security and reporting, you can imagine that in the world of security, that's a top priority. And, you know, whether you're doing sort of single sign-on authentication or AD authentication or whatever it may be that you're doing, you know, the security piece is a big component. You know, you don't want any intrusion. You don't want any information on screen that's false or derogatory or, you know, something that really shouldn't be there.
Or libelous.
Yes. Yeah. You certainly don't want that. And you know, a lot of people talk about reporting and having enterprise reporting, and we have that functionality built in our products, but we're still early in that. People aren't using information coming out of the CMS yet to populate dashboards and, you know, things like Power BI and that kind of stuff. So reporting is a key component, particularly if you're looking for failures in the product and the transmission of, you know, information to endpoints. But, you know, the real piece is obviously security. And, you know, we talk about, you know, people wanting to do on-premise deployments versus stuff in the cloud.
Right.
And, you know, you can imagine the cloud has its own security issues, particularly when you have to have connectivity between infrastructure technologies that are on-premise versus the cloud device, and it's going back and forth. So that certainly, you know, fits into the puzzle. But, you know, cloud technologies are becoming more and more ubiquitous, but we all know that there are, you know, companies like, I mean, we have a client that's a Federal Reserve Bank. They're not going to ever, you know, do this sort of cloud stuff. And security is a big deal.
Just host it out there someplace.
Yeah. Never mind what the current Fed decision is this week, because we've been completely...
How, where are all these leaks coming from to the press?
Yeah. Right. So, you know, the last one, too, that is an enterprise feature that's, unfortunately applicable to colleges and universities in the United States is alert notification. The most common way to alert people on campus of some kind of problem or something that's going on is through text messaging and sirens. And there are multiple layers of security announcements and, notices on college campuses. But digital signs, once installed and saturated on a college campus, become a great endpoint for providing instructions for panic situations, students in the hallway and that kind of stuff, guidance on where to go. And even if it's simple, it's as simple as a fire. We've grown up, we know what the fire alarm means. It means leave the building, right? But, digital signs become a great endpoint for directing you where to go. Arrows pointing to the stairwells, for example. That's a great, great use of this technology. And, most of the people that are doing this at the enterprise level are utilizing technologies like and standards like Common Alerting Protocol, so it can be triggered by other platforms, so the interoperability still becomes relevant to the alert notification piece.
That sort of thing always reminds me of, whenever you fly. The joke, many comedians make light of it, is there you are, they've asked you to buckle in, you're buckled into your seat, then they show you how the seatbelt works. Yes. But I found out there's a reason for this. And the reason is because, first off, airplane seatbelts don't work the way most car seatbelts do, right? How do you undo your seatbelt in your car?
You push a little tab.
Push a little button. But that's not how these work. And they have done these sort of simulations of crashes, and people freak out and panic. Of course you would. Yep. And they start pushing the button that isn't there, and they don't free themselves from their seatbelt. So they remind you of this. So it seems to me like having the, it's great to have, I think it's great to have the text messages. But again, what if somebody dropped their phone? What if they forgot it? What if it ran out of juice? It would be a shame for them to not know, hey, the building you're trying to get to so fast, it's on fire.
Right. Certainly a lot of misconceptions, like you just described, about how a seatbelt works. And the same thing with this, misconceptions about how this technology works, what it's best used for. And there's a lot of that,
So digital signage is a very comprehensive and very versatile communications medium. It can be used at all levels for all sizes of organizations for all kinds of purposes, both internal employees and external facing, public facing visitors and so on. And obviously throughout this podcast series, we're going to be talking about lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different aspects of this and how you can best use it. So I'd like to thank Sean Matthews for talking to me today. Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thanks, Derek. And look forward to getting back together here soon.
All right. And thank all of you for listening.
Hey, want more free stuff? Then head to the resources section of physics.com for free masterclass guides, blogs, videos, and more to help you with your digital signs. Please share, subscribe, and leave a review of this episode, and connect with us on social media.